Welcome to another powerful word from Pastor Ron Hammonds, Senior Pastor of Golden Triangle Church on the Rock in Southeast Texas. We're so glad you're joining us. For more information about Golden Triangle Church on the Rock Ministries, visit our website, cotr.com. Enjoy the word.
Today we're going to be sharing a Memorial Day message, and we're going to talk about the chance. What chance? Well, the chance you have been given, the chance you have been afforded, the chance that someone else gave their life so that you could have. We will talk about, of course, how Jesus gave His life so that you and I would have a chance to be saved. That's going to be the ultimate, you know, expression of our life-giving and life-changing message. But we do not want to forget those who gave their all so that we can share this message around the world. People today are still giving their all. You know, this Sunday is a part of our annual Memorial Day weekend here in the United States of America. And it began to be observed with a little history here as Decoration Day in 1866, the year after the Civil War ended. In New York, it grew. It initially was to remember the fallen soldiers of the Civil War on both sides of that divided conflict. And through the years, our presidents and our legislators, they've signed executive orders, they've created legislation, and they, in 1971, set aside the fourth Monday of each May to be a day that we would remember. This is not a day of celebration, even though it is a holiday and many celebrations take place. It is not a day of celebration in which we would have a lot of joy and pomp. It is a day to remember with some somberness and with some sadness and with appreciation, with honor, because of the lives that were laid down, the sacrifices made to keep America and Americans free. And let me ask you, if you would, to consider tomorrow. Go ahead and set your alarm. It's past 11, so you can set your alarm by simply saying, here, let me do it for you. Siri, set my alarm for 11 a.m. Okay, I hope that covered your phone. When it rings tomorrow at 11 a.m., just remember, if you would, lift up a prayer of thanksgiving. A part of our responsibility as a people is to be thankful, to be grateful. And we would not be here today. As Senator John Glenn once said, if you can read, thank a teacher. If you can read English, thank a soldier. And that is a reality, because the world many times over would have changed had it not been for people willing to stand in the gap and make up the hedge and lay down their lives for our decided best interest. Today, as a church, we join our nation and we mourn the loss and we remember and honor those who gave their lives. Jesus has something to say about those who would willingly lay down their lives, would willingly give of their own life so that others might live, so that others might have a chance at a better life even. And in John the 10th chapter, we're going to be reading beginning at verse 10. We'll read verses 10, 11, and 12. And then just a little bit later, we'll be going to Romans chapter 5 if you want to get ahead. And today is not going to be a long message, but it's going to be impactful. I'm going to challenge you to find one thing today that you can take with you. One thing, that's all. Just one thing that you can allow into your heart, into your mind, that might help somehow alter, change, modify your thoughts so that you tomorrow, whenever you lift up your prayer of thanksgiving, could stand in a place to truly be thankful. Find one thing from today's message and take that with you. In John chapter 10, specifically in verse 10, listen to what Jesus had to say. He said, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy." Now, that's enough for a sermon right there. The thief, the devil, the enemy, every enemy comes to you. And he's specifically talking about Satan, the arch enemy of God. He is specifically talking about the enemy of your soul. You have an enemy. And Jesus was very straight. He did not mind preaching about the devil. He did not mind talking about the evil that is in this world. Jesus did not mind pointing a finger at the cause of the problems that this world faces. He directly pointed his finger at the devil. He called the devil a thief so that we could better understand the appetite of the enemy is to steal from us, is to rob from us. Specifically, Jesus said the thief does not come. He's not coming to your house to just have a nice conversation with you. He's not coming to your life just to have, just to see what's going on. The thief comes for a very specific reason, and he does not come unless he is intending to steal something from you. He wants something that you presently have. He wants something that you are presently enjoying. He wants something that God believes belongs to you. He wants to steal. He wants to kill. He wants to destroy. He wants to destroy your peace. He wants to destroy your joy. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy your future. That's the only reason that the devil would entertain spending 1 second on you, is that he is hoping that he can take something from you that God wants you to have. But Jesus conversely said, "But I have come." Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." Now, which one is better? The one who goes out to steal or the one who goes out to bless? Which one is better? Which one would you rather have visit you? Which one would you rather have impact your life? Which one would you rather serve? Which one would you rather help? One who is coming out to steal, who is going to your family to steal, he's going to your school to steal, he's going to your business to steal, to kill, and to destroy, or he's coming to give you life. And not only life, but abundant life. Life that is so full, life that is so fresh, life that is so meaningful that you do not even need a miracle because you have abundant life. Which one of these do we want to serve? Which one of these do we want to give our attention to? Which one of these do we want in our lives? That's basically a very simple question. Would you rather have life or death? Moses asked that question back in Deuteronomy chapter 30 in verse 19. He said, "I set before you choices. I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing." He said, "You choose. You choose." Isn't it amazing that we have been given a choice? But not only are we given a choice, we also are given a chance. You know, sometimes it's not just a matter of a choice. Years ago, we opened a clinic here, not only a medical clinic, but also a counseling clinic. And in our counseling clinic, we help people to recover from drugs and alcohol. We did detoxification through nutritional supplementation. And then we helped to identify the emotional triggers that caused people to relapse into addictive behaviors. And we taught what we called a belief choice model of therapy to help people get to a place where they could understand the truth. The belief choice model of therapy that we wrote here simply says this: you think what you think, you feel what you feel, and you want what you want because you believe what you believe. Let me say that again. You think what you think, you feel what you feel, and you want what you want because you believe what you believe. If you happen to be believing the wrong thing, you will think the wrong thing. You will feel the wrong thing. You will want the wrong thing. Do you know some people are very passionate about what they think? Some people are very passionate about what they feel. Some people are very passionate about what they want. But what they think and feel and want are wrong and bad for them, bad for their families, bad for their futures, bad for their work environments. You think what you think, you feel what you feel, and you want what you want because you believe what you believe. But you do what you do, and you get what you get because you choose what you choose. Do you know we were able to supply a detoxification through nutritional supplementation to such an effect that it brought people to a place where they could identify what was best for them. They could say, you know, it is best for me to not do this drug, to not drink this alcohol. It is best for me not to go to those places. It is best for me not to put myself in that place of temptation. It is best for me. But yet, just because they knew what was best for them, just because they believed the right thing, and just because they wanted the right thing, did not mean that they had the power to choose the right thing. Sometimes they would get right up to the place, knowing I should not, and then feel powerless and reach out for that next drink or reach out to that drug or relapse into some other addictive behavior. Because it's not just knowing what to do, it's having a real chance for that to be your choice. The Apostle Paul wrote about that in Romans, the 7th chapter. He said, the very things that I would not do are the very things I find myself doing. Oh, wretched man that I am, he says, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I continue, he said, to fail over and over because I realize every time I would do good, evil is present with me. And that's what Jesus is talking about. The thief has come to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come to give you life and give it more abundantly. So we have a choice, as Moses said. But do you really have a choice if you do not have the power, if you don't know how to release the power to choose? You know, like the Apostle Paul says, in my mind, I serve the law of God. I want to do what God says. With all of my heart, I want to do what God says. He says, but with my flesh, I serve the law of sin. Every time I let my flesh get in control, I find that my mind is not strong enough to say no. This is the Apostle Paul. Wow. And here is Jesus and Moses. And we have witnesses here that we have a choice. But what we need is a chance to really make that choice. So Jesus continues. He says in verse 11, after telling us that he came, you know, the devil came to destroy you, and yet I came to give you life more abundantly. He says, I am the good shepherd. He's identifying himself as a good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. This is where it all changed. This is where everything changed, in that Jesus paid a price not only for you to have a choice, but for you to have a chance. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. As the Father knows me and I know the Father, verse 15 says, and I lay my life down. I lay down my life for the sheep. You know, when someone willingly lays their life down, they are doing it in hopes that others would benefit from it, that others would acknowledge it, be aware of it, would accept it, and would embrace it and take the opportunity, Take that opportunity. Jesus was hoping to give us an advantage, to give us a chance. He died to give us a chance. He died to give us a choice, but he died to give us a chance. You know, people could have served the Lord all they wanted, but the enemy was constantly bombarding them, constantly pounding them. Jesus gave us a chance to personally know him, but also personally know the power that is made available to the one who will choose Jesus, a new power that moves into your life, that changes your life, that all of a sudden grants you the ability to choose the chance to change. You can do it. I have seen so many of you say yes to Jesus and say no to what the devil wanted in your life. I've seen so many of you come to a crossroads in life, come to a fork in the road, come to the place where you had a choice to make and see Jesus empower you with a real chance to make that choice. I've seen the end results of that. I've done that myself. I am so thankful that Jesus willingly gave his life on the cross of Calvary. I had a choice to be good or bad, but you know, I didn't really understand how to do it until Jesus Christ made himself real to me. And when I asked him into my heart and into my life, I felt like for the first time I had a chance. It wasn't just, you know, lip service I was giving. It wasn't just I'm sorry's. It wasn't just, you know, forgive me. It wasn't just, you know, I don't know how that happened. It became a place where victory was within reach, where I could get my hands on something real, something that spoke to me, something that stayed with me, something that held me true to course, so that worry and grief and fear and anger and resentment and hurt and disappointment and betrayal and all the other myriad of things that I was involved in and that came up on me as a thief to rob peace and to rob joy and to rob success, to rob family, to rob finances, all the things that came up on me because of my behavior, because of what I allowed myself to think and feel and want and how I behaved. And I felt trapped. I felt trapped in a situation. I can't tell you how many times I tried to change. I can't tell you how many times my dad tried to change. How many times I watched my dad over and over and over try his best to change. Raised in an alcoholic family, watching, you know, him destroy everything God had blessed him with. Over and over and over until, guess what, Jesus moved into his life. Do you know what he did as a young man with four kids? He went to a church because he wanted to change, you know. My dad really wanted to change. And so with four children and him being, you know, an alcoholic that had already just about destroyed all the relationships that he'd had, he went to the church and at the end of the church he walked the aisle. You know, when he got to the front, because he went to his home community and everybody knew him, when he walked down the aisle, do you know what the visiting preacher told him? I'm sorry to tell you this, Curtis Hammonds, but you cannot be saved. We know you. All of us know you. You are a sinner. You are a sorry man. You have already done too much to be saved. You are on your way to hell. Go. That's what he got told at the altar of that church. So after my dad met Christ, I got to water baptize him. And, you know, he became an elder in my church. Loved the Lord after living a life that you just couldn't imagine. You know, good man, just grew up in a bad situation. You know what my dad, he told me? He said, you know, at that altar, in that church, whenever that preacher told me I had already done too much, that God couldn't save me, that he didn't want me, that everybody knew I was sorry and everybody, you know, knew I was on my way to hell, he said, I turned and I walked away from that altar and I walked out of that church, and this is what I said to myself: if God doesn't want me, if I'm on my way to hell, then I may as well live like hell. And he did. At 12 years old, I was driving him to the bootleggers. You know, praise God. It had been 12 years since he'd had a drink when I buried him. And he was an elder in the church. Laid his hands on people and prayed for them and expected miracles and shared the word of God. And whoa, whoo, I'm going to tell you what gave him that chance. It was Jesus Christ. He always had a choice, and that's what we get mad at people about. They have a choice. They didn't have to do that. They could have done something different. You know, yeah, people have choices, but you know, it's not always easy. When that devil's got you in a headlock and he's lying to you and he's squeezing you and he's putting you in every position he can and he's trying his best to deceive you and lead you into darkness and making you think that darkness is light and sweet is bitter and the things that are bad for you are the things that are good for you and overwhelms you and starts sending other people and then up pops a song on the radio and tells you exactly what you should do. Torn between two lovers. Feeling like a fool. That's what one of my friends told me as they shared that song with me and said, I just heard what I'm supposed to do. Wow. Let's don't sing that one in church, AJ. Wow, that was back in, I was living in Germany then. I was so disappointed that a song had become someone's direction. Okay, so what? So here we get to Romans chapter 5, all right? Verse number 6. The Apostle Paul, you know, he just simply puts it this way. I love the Apostle Paul. Man, he just straight to it, didn't he? And he was a real good sinner. He became a real good preacher. He said in verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, that's where I was. Was that where you were? That's where I was. And every now and then I can find myself in a place without strength. You know, I need a little help. Like the guy said, I believe, help my unbelief. I just need a little strength to push through. I just need a little bit here. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the saints. No. He died for the perfect people. Nope. Who'd he die for? The ungodly. Those that you don't even know if they'll appreciate it, acknowledge it, embrace it. That's who he died for. Jesus did not die for one saved person. He only died for the lost. He said the saved don't need saving. I'm here for the lost. The well don't need a physician. I'm here for the sick. He said in verse 7, I like how he continues to explain it. He says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. You wouldn't give your life up for somebody that already told you, spit in your face and told you that they didn't want nothing to do with you. Would you? Would you go to hell for them? Well, he did. Verse 8. But God demonstrates, the Apostle Paul said, he demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Man, you know, he's given us a chance to change. He's given us a chance. He died for us when we didn't deserve it. He died for us the devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came to give you life. Which one of these do you want to say yes to? Partying a little longer will take you down a wrong road and keep you longer than you wanted to stay and cost you more than you thought you were going to pay. Don't do it. Don't do it. Choose Jesus. How can you take advantage of this offer? He's offering you life more abundantly. Romans, the 10th chapter, says in verse 9, that if you will confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Boy, there, whew, that just kind of cuts it right there. If you will, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. Verse 10, for with the heart you believe, a person believes. That's what my daddy did. That's what I did. With my heart, I believed. I believed in Jesus Christ. I couldn't even tell you why. Boom, it was there. I believed in Jesus Christ, just like you are right now. You know, you believe. You believe in Jesus. Yeah. It puts you into a right place. It puts you in a right place where you can ask, where you can confess. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Once you believe and call upon the name of the Lord, He will save you. You know, God doesn't know until you say it. You don't know until you say it. The judge doesn't know until you say it. Your family doesn't know until you say it. You know? I mean, Somebody comes in front of me and wants to be married, I say, do you? I don't know if they just go. You don't know until you say it. You know, you can believe all day long, but you need to confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You need to let not only yourself, but Jesus and the whole world know that you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Number one, I'll encourage you to consider what I've said today. Number two, I'm going to ask you to commit. I'm going to ask you, this is your chance. Jesus died so you would have a chance. You've always had a choice. You can do good or do bad, but you got a chance because of Jesus Christ to go to heaven. Consider that. Consider that He's giving you a chance. You have a choice to make this morning, right now. You have a chance. You have a choice to make. Consider the choice you can make right now and the chance He's given you. Okay? Commit. I'm going to ask you to commit. I am going to ask you to make a commitment to Jesus Christ today. How? By confessing. I'm going to ask you to confess. We won't know if you don't say it. You won't know if you don't say it. Okay? So I'm going to lead us in a prayer right now. Okay? If you believe in your heart that God gave His Son on the cross of Calvary for you, you know, wherever you are in the world, those of you sitting here on campus, if you believe in your heart that Jesus came and gave His life for you, then you have a choice to make. I'm going to ask you to commit. And we commit when we call upon the Lord. Today, let's do that. You can do this to invite Him into your problem, to invite Him into your marriage, into your ministry, into your finances. You consider what He did, life and life more abundantly. Consider what the devil wants to do, you know. And you need to commit, make a commitment. I'm so glad my dad made that last commitment. It lasted him the rest of his life. No one expected him to be able to change, but he made a commitment. Man, I'm so glad. I watched him. I was standing in a stock pond in the middle of Joe Cruz's cow pasture out on an old dirt road in Bowie County, standing out in a stock pond. I had baptized a couple of people, and I turned around and looked up, and here came my daddy out into that water. I said, do you believe? He said, yes, I do. I said, are you ready to commit your life to Jesus Christ? Yes, I am. I put my hands on him. I said, then in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I baptize you as my brother. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which is the Lord Jesus. And I raised him up, and he was changed. The power of God. Let me tell you how moving it was. I was so overwhelmed, I turned around and I said, would you baptize me, Daddy? He looked at me. I said, would you baptize me? I believe, and I commit my life to Christ afresh. I just seen the biggest, greatest miracle the world could offer me. Yes. And I confess Him as my Lord. He didn't know what to do, but He did it. Baptize me. Wow. One of the greatest joys of my life. You have a choice. You always have a choice. But when you have the chance, take it. You got a chance right now. Let's pray on this Memorial Sunday. Pray with me. Pray out loud. You want to hear yourself say this, don't you? You want everybody else to hear it, right? All right. Jesus, come on, say, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe that you came and gave your life on the cross of Calvary. And right now, Jesus, I ask you to come into my life.
Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Forgive me of my sins. Take me to heaven when I die. Teach me how to live. I want to be a shining light for you. I choose life and life more abundantly. Thank you for giving me the chance to choose life. God, thank you for your Son and for my salvation. I am a born-again Christian. I believe the Word of God. I believe that you love me, God. I believe you have a plan for my life. And I'm going to leave here a changed person. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for joining us for another dynamic message from Pastor Ron Hammonds. Visit cotr.com and subscribe to our social media platforms to stay up to date. As well, receive more encouraging messages from our pastor and details of the work we're doing both in our community and communities like ours around the world. Today and every day, God bless.